Quinn woke up and knew immediately she wasn't at her own house. The sheets she was sleeping on were way nicer than her own, but it was the smell permeating her senses that clinched it. Turning her head into the pillow under her, she inhaled deeply, sighing in ecstasy at the woodsy, masculine scent that filled her nostrils. Almost scared to look around, she turned her head and opened her eyes, expecting to see John at her side. The other side of the bed was empty, which was weird because now that she was waking up, she definitely heard slight snoring. Moving her legs, she could feel she was still in the jeans she'd worn the night before. Not only that, but she still had on her blouse as well. She sat up in bed, holding the sheet and blanket to her chest and looking around in confusion. Then she saw him. John Driftwood Treadle was sound asleep on the floor next to the bed. If she wasn't seeing it with her own eyes, she wouldn't believe it. Details of the night before came rushing back. The drinks with the girls, finding out Hope and Blythe were pregnant, the guys coming to pick them up, the men at a nearby table making fun of her face, and John losing his shit on them. But it was his deep, determined words, "We're dating," that were foremost in her thoughts. The massive crush Quinn had on the man was embarrassing. She knew he liked her back, but she was too gun-shy to do anything about it. Who wouldn't be after living 28 years with a port wine birthmark on their face and neck? But apparently John was done tiptoeing around their attraction, and she'd spent the night in his bed. And he was asleep on the floor. Not knowing whether or not she should soak in the moment or try to get up and sneak around him and get the hell out of there before he woke up, Quinn bit her lip in indecision. John hadn't taken advantage of her drunken state. She was still fully dressed. He'd simply put her to bed and presumably watched over her as she slept to make sure she was all right. A lot of men would have put her on the couch, or at least slept in their own bed next to her, but not John. Snippets of conversations she'd had with her girlfriends over the last couple months came back. How she'd declared if she ever found a man who treated her like her friends' men treated them, she'd latch onto him and never let go. But she'd been so scared of giving John a chance, of opening herself up to more than friendship. Watching him immediately go after the men who were making fun of her last night, and watching him sleep now, on the floor by her side, made something inside Quinn snap into place. Maybe she'd been an idiot. John wasn't the kind of man to lead her on. He wasn't out for a one-night stand. Settling back down on her side, Quinn propped her head on her hand and kept her eyes on John. She didn't look around, didn't check out his bedroom. She could only stare at the man below her. It was probably 10 minutes or so later when he began to stir. Quinn didn't move, curious as to what he'd do when he woke up. He sighed, then inhaled deeply through his nose. He stretched, and she saw his forehead wrinkle in what she could only guess was confusion at the hard floor beneath him. His eyes opened, and the first thing he did was look up at the bed. Quinn didn't flinch when he met her gaze. The thing was, when John looked at her, he looked at her. His gaze didn't drop to the red birthmark on her face and neck. He didn't look away nervously. He stared into her eyes and held her gaze. "Morning, Emmy," he said with a deep rumble. That was another thing. He'd started calling her Emmy because he'd said her eyes twinkled like emeralds. How could she not like that?